So a bit of a title, I suppose, for this morning. And as we've been thinking about what our brief is over the last week or so, I'm going to call it, and it's a slightly different title, and I was trying to think of a little strapline to come after it, but I couldn't. So the title is, It Is All About the Brief. And this is a talk about what it means to become a voice, to the voiceless in our communities. And you have to excuse my voice. Over the last couple of weeks at work, I've been interviewing and talking and doing a lot of stuff where I've had to use my voice. So it feels a bit weak at the moment. So forgive me if it's a bit crackly. So it's really interesting that Michelle mentioned the first snowy weekend where we didn't have a meeting, because this was when I should have done this particular preach, and that's kind of all great and all the rest of it. But actually, even back then, when I was thinking about this preach, I was going to do something completely different. For those of you that know me really well, the first 6 weeks of this year, I was sort of had this virusy thing that was lurking around and didn't feel well for a number of weeks. It didn't completely incapacitate me, but I just wasn't feeling great. And I figured, okay, when I come to preach, I'll talk about the psalm that the Lord gave me during that time that really helped me, and that'll kind of be fine. But actually, what happened was God really stopped me in my tracks, and I didn't need to talk to you about what I'd found out in Psalm 27, as much as that would have probably been a real blessing to you. But actually, God really began to speak to me really powerfully. But I just love God's timing, because this wasn't right for those weeks. And I was really worried about coming to this week thinking, oh, well, I'm going to do what I was going to do then. Does it matter now? And absolutely, it matters for today. And it kind of makes more sense, actually, on the back of finishing things like the winter night shelter, hope, what Richard shared in the week. Everything is starting to knit together, and it's really, really exciting. So the Sunday before I was supposed to preach that first time, it was really interesting, because if you remember back to that week, Rod talked about the persecuted church, which kind of was a bit like, oh, that was a bit different for a Sunday morning. What was that about? So that was really interesting. I think in the course of that meeting, we kept hearing the words about being aware and having awareness again, and more we just are hearing these words. And I said to Richard, I don't think this is a word just for you. I think this is the word for the church at the moment. And it's just really exciting to see how that's evolving and coming out. That morning, before Rod spoke about the persecuted church, in my reading, I read from Psalm 68 and verses 5 to 6. And in the Message, it talks about God as the father of orphans, the champion of widows, and how God makes homes for the homeless and leads prisoners to freedom, but leaves rebels to rot in hell. And the words that really stuck out to me were about leading prisoners to freedom. And then in that same meeting, Alison read from Isaiah 61. And we know these words really, really well, but I'll read them again, because I think, again, they're really important when we're considering what this brief is and the thing that we're called to at the moment. It says, "The Spirit of the Lord God is upon me, because the Lord has anointed me to bring good news to the poor. He has sent me to bind up the brokenhearted, to proclaim liberty to the captives, an opening of the prison to those who are bound." And other versions of the Bible talk about us announcing or proclaiming freedom for the prisoners and captives. So, as I said, God had other plans. It snowed that weekend. Jessie was in hospital. Michelle's mum was about to go into hospital for her operation. So we did something different. We listened to the Holy Spirit, and God led us down a different path. And we've had all sorts of happen since then. And actually, when we were in Fishponds Baptist on Friday morning, when we were waiting to worship before we went out to our various projects, the word was very clear. It was coming through again. And the chap Richard Pollard, who's the leader of Fishponds Baptist, he read from Isaiah 61 again. So it's just like, oh my gosh, God, you're really capturing our imaginations at the moment in terms of this thing that we're thinking about as our brief, as our call at the moment as a church. So again, it was just really exciting. So I'm here today on the back of feeling full of faith and excitement. And again, yeah, Thursday night in when we a few of us were together, we were just buzzing because everything was just coming together and we were just excited to be talking about this great plan that God's got for us. So what about this phrase, being a voice to the voiceless? So over the years, I've been to many, I suppose, mainly ladies' things, where from time to time a particular verse was read out and it talked about as being a voice to the voiceless and all the rest of it. And I'll read out the scripture where it comes from at the moment. But I couldn't kind of make sense with it or connect with it. And I think that was just because of where we were at that time in our particular church setting, because it was almost like there was no outlet for me to recognise the full context of what that word meant. So it didn't really connect with me. But every now and then it just kept coming back to mind. And it's really exciting because now I'm starting to understand what this word means. And I've got a real new sense of urgency about I need to do something with it. So here's that scripture. So it's from Proverbs 31 and verses 8 to 9. I'm going to read it in a couple of different versions just to give you a full flavour of the meaning of it. So firstly, the message talks about a speaking up for people who have no voice, for the rights of all down and outers. Speak out for justice. Stand up for the poor and destitute. The New Living Translation says, speak up for those who cannot speak for themselves. Ensure justice for those being crushed. Yes, speak up for the poor and helpless and see that they get justice. And the Passion Translation talks about, but you are to be a king who speaks up on behalf of the disenfranchised and pleads for legal rights of the defenceless and those who are dying. Be a righteous king, judging on behalf of the poor and interceding for those most in need. And actually, at a time when God was just laying some stuff on my heart and some thoughts to share with you today, at the time when we were praying for Sheila and for Jesse. You know, we were interceding at that time for those that were most in need. At the time, we were doing the homeless shelter thing, so we were supporting the poor. You know, the Hope thing is all about this kind of, just being involved in helping the poor and the helpless and those that are held captive. And there's a sense that those who can't speak up for themselves and proclaim freedom for themselves, it's further emphasised in James 1 and verse 27 in the Message, and it says, anyone who sets himself up as religious by talking a good game is self-deceived. This kind of religion is hot air and only hot air. Real religion, the kind that passes muster before God the Father, is this. And I just think this is just wonderful. Reach out to the homeless and loveless in their plight, a guard against corruption from the godless world. So again, we're being called to reach out to those that are in need and are poor. And for me, over recent weeks, and this, again, it would have been in the week after I was due to preach, I was really inspired and my heart was captured by the work of an organisation called the End It Movement, which some of you may be familiar with. You may have come across it on social media. And it's a coalition of organisations such as Salvation Army, Hope for Justice. And what they're aiming to do is to really shine a light on modern day slavery. This whole thing around modern day slavery is a big deal. And you may have seen it on social media. They're the people who put red crosses on their hand and they say, yeah, we want to end it. And there's groups of people working to raise awareness about what's going on. They're doing some prevention. They're rescuing people out of desperate, desperate situations that are really, really dark. And again, I've done a little bit of reading around this. And this is a real thing that, you know, millions are trapped, trafficked, exploited. And, you know, we need to raise our voices collectively on behalf of those who can't to make a difference and put an end to this and to bring freedom to the captives. That's one area where we can do this. And what I'm beginning to realise is that we as a church and as Christians and as, you know, as individuals following Christ, we have the answer. We have the message of freedom and hope for all, and we shouldn't be hiding it. And we need to raise our voices. And we've talked in the past, haven't we, about singing louder. and getting our voices heard for those who can't. We need to shine that light in the dark and proclaim freedom for the captives in these days. And this is something I read, particularly in relation to the End It movement, but it just really struck a chord. It says, "The cross was for freedom, not for the few, but for all. The End It movement and all those who are making sure that this message finds its way into every life that is trapped in bondage, we salute and thank you. You may be reading this and think, what's that to do with me? Everything is the answer. You may not be the one who runs the organisation that's working to end slavery, but we can all do something. This is all our problem because it's on our watch. So today, if you have a voice, use it. Add your prayers, raise awareness, become aware, give, teach your kids about modern day slavery, support organisations who are getting the job done. Let's not be those who take what the cross did and keep it for ourselves." And I think you can apply that to anything. It doesn't have to be modern day slavery. But again, it just raises these words again that are really important to us about being aware, about doing something small. It doesn't have to be big, but do something. And this thing that this stuff is happening on our watch. I mean, dreadful, dreadful things on the news, you know, particularly in London. You know, was it 50 murders so far this year? Some of you are familiar with the Christian rapper Governor B. He's been on television a lot this week talking about that and talking about how actually, you know, it's just got to stop, basically. So again, if you get to look online and have a look about what he's saying about that, it's really important. And I think what we have to realise is that, so things like modern day slavery, it's not happening somewhere far away from us. It's happening here. It's probably happening in this city. And it's sometimes hard to get our heads around the closeness of some of these things that are happening. And I think a really important part of us becoming a missional community, which I think is, you know, it's pretty much the heart of who we are at the moment, is that alongside loving our neighbours and making disciples, a really important part is that we serve and have a voice into our city, whatever our city might be. And whilst things like, as I've said, modern day slavery seem like a world away, there are things locally where we need to raise awareness, to have a voice, to be able to proclaim freedom. And some of these things that I think are important, particularly in the context of Bristol, probably into South Gloss and other areas as well, North Somerset and surrounding areas. Child sexual exploitation, big, big deal. Local authorities having to deal with that in new ways. A lot of us have watched the whole Drugsland documentary thing about, you know, the drug scene in Bristol. It's a big deal. Some of you may have seen the documentary about FGM as well. Again, some of these cultural issues really prevalent in our society. Food poverty. And in particular, heard on the news this week about child food poverty, and that just breaks my heart that kids are going to school and not having been fed, they're putting their dinners in their pockets, all sorts of dreadful, dreadful things. Homelessness, the refugee situation, the effects of just austerity generally, and prostitution. These are all big deals in our city. But I think, you know, we do have a hope, and it's really exciting times we're living in at the moment. And I think this is largely strengthened for us because we have a Christian mayor, Marvin Rees, who I just really feel every time I hear him speak, he has just got this real strategic vision for how the church can serve and make a real difference in our society. And I think it's time that we do just start to believe that we can do something and we do hold the answers and that we are uniquely placed to meet the needs of our communities or individuals. And I think we're seeing this as a church. You know, being involved in Hope and the homeless shelter stuff, that's what we do now. You know, these are going to be things and we're going to get more and more involved in these things over the course of time. And I think it's really becoming part of our DNA of who we are as a church. It's our brief to do these things. And it's just been really exciting for me to have been involved and do 6 weeks on the night shelter and then just on that Friday. We just had such a good time. And yeah, we don't know the impact that we would have had on that chap in that youth centre. I mean, some of you had conversations with him, and it was just great. And he was so just open and welcoming to having us go and make a mess of his walls, which, yeah, Dave, you'd have been horrified, honestly. And I think as well, for me, what I've found as we're being involved in some of these initiatives, it's easier actually to share your faith and what's going on in church, because people connect with the fact you're involved in a homeless shelter or social action project. So I'm not so quiet now about what I'm doing. And yet we do laugh at work about these things. But I had had so many opportunities to just talk about what we're doing and what we're involved in. And it's not cringy, and it's not awkward. And that's really, really good, because before I suppose, kept my work stuff a bit like, well, I'll do some work stuff, and I might talk to some individuals about church and who I am. But actually, it's a lot easier these days, so that's great. So it's quite a long introduction into some points, but it's just like it's in my heart at the moment. And again, a lot of it has just come off the back of what chats with Richard over the last few weeks, and then his just amazing just outpouring of his passion and his heart for the brief on Wednesday night just really, again, just captured me. So some of you may have read the article in the New Wine magazine by Chris Verlotten from the Bethel Church in Redding, California. And he wrote an article in that magazine. If you haven't read it, I'd recommend you just have a read, called Beyond Four Walls. And it says, if we are going to be the church beyond the four walls of a building, we can't ignore the reality of the state of our communities. You can't fix it all, but you can do something. And I think it's really exciting, actually, that we as a church are not kind of hindered by having four walls around us all the time. You know, we use this on a Sunday, but actually for the rest of the time we are, you know, we're out of here, we're somewhere else. So we're not as hemmed in as we might be, although arguably you could say, well, if we had facilities we could do X, Y and Z, but actually we're not confined by our four walls. And as many of us heard on Wednesday night about the Bristol Churches Fund, this is a one sort of something that we can be involved in. And the website talks about the Bristol Churches City Fund channels increased generosity to financially support growing social needs across the Bristol region. Issues such as homelessness, food poverty, debt support and the refugee crisis are ones that will not change without increased engagement from the church community. And at this time, we believe that God is calling us to bring hope to these challenging situations. As individuals and communities of faith, we have the opportunity to be part of that kingdom generosity that will ultimately bring blessing to all across the Bristol region. And again, this is an initiative that has come out of Marvin Rees, and it's another sign that the church has a really important part to play in providing the answer to some of these needs out here. And that's all about, as we found out over the last few weeks, and the things we've been involved in, about demonstrating the kingdom of God in word and deed. And the deed thing is a really important thing, you know, action, doing something. So I know we watched the video on Wednesday, but some of you weren't there, so fingers crossed for technology. Eleanor is going to play the video again.
Bristol's known to be an incredible city. It's been identified as the best city in the UK to live in, and for many people, that is true. Our challenge is that for tens of thousands of people, that is not true. We have a major problem with inequality, economic exclusion, gentrification, and actually some people say this is one of the worst cities in the UK to be born poor in. As a Christian myself, I've always been driven and motivated by the call that is on the church to be good news. Churches intervene on so many issues of critical importance to the life of the city. But we have to begin to think more strategically, rather than just dealing with the consequences of a city that's not working well. It means getting involved in politics, getting involved in public life, and the delivery of a better city. We've a lot of work going on around homelessness in the city, rough sleeping, but it remains a very, very serious challenge for Bristol. What we see on the streets, though, is the tip of an iceberg. We have the hidden homeless, people sofa surfing, and all that backs up into a lack of housing supply. We have to take this on. Volunteering is absolutely fantastic, and the church has been great at that. But the church also has land, legal expertise, developers, and financial resource. Bringing that together would be an incredible response. Child hunger is a significant problem in the city, and we know the implications that has for behaviour, academic attainment, and life chances. So I made a commitment to breakfast clubs in Bristol because we think it's absolutely essential that no child starts the day hungry. There's an incredible opportunity within breakfast clubs also to engage with families and begin to support parents. It's a critical part of building our city's future, not just for their lives, but for all of our futures. For many people, debt is not about a frivolous lifestyle. It is about the growing cost of living, trying to feed themselves and keep a roof over their heads. We're paying the price of that now in terms of family breakdown, people losing their homes, and also mental health related problems as people struggle with their lives. We urgently need to be investing in the advice and the skills they need to manage their money. People around the world are fleeing conflict, ethnic, religious persecution, and looking for safe places to go, and we need to offer that. It would be perverse if we were to join in persecuting people on this end by offering them destitution. So we need to support people when they come here. We have spare rooms in our homes. We have legal experts. We have people who can teach English as a second language. Refugees and asylum seekers are not just needy people. They turn up here with skills. And we could play an incredible part unleashing new talent and resource into our cities. I'd like to see the church really take ownership of some of the key issues in the city. It should not be afraid to lead. I hope too that the church sees the opportunity to collaborate beyond its own boundaries, working with other faiths, working with other sectors. That's where the credibility and the impact lies. So I think when the church looks at Bristol, it should see an opportunity to bring its resources, its skills, its passion, commitment, relationships to transform it.
A little bit glitchy, but if you want to have a look at it, it's online. And when I first saw this really captured my heart. I was just like, oh my gosh, it was really overwhelming. And for many of you know, I have to walk through the area where Marvin was walking every single day on my way to work. So I kind of walk in his footsteps. So as he's talking about this, I can visualise that and I can see it, and I see it every day. And for some of us that, you know, were involved in the night shelter at Elim, you know, we used to have to walk in, you know, small areas of the Stokescroft area. So you kind of get a sense of, yeah, this is close to home, and I need to respond to that. And but how do I do that? Because again, we can't fix everything, as Rich said on Wednesday night, but there are small things that we can do. And for me, you know, that scripture in Galatians and 5 and verse 1, where it talks about, you know, Christ has set us free to live a free life, so take a stand, never again let anyone put a harness of slavery on you, is a message for all. It's not just the message for us here in the church, and it's how do we get that out there, this message of freedom. So what is it that you're going to proclaim freedom for? Where is it that you need to be that voice to the voiceless? Because as we've already said, it can't be everywhere, but it can be somewhere. For some people it'll be big, for some people it'll be small. What does that look like? And if you remember, probably going back a year or so ago, we had a home group, and it was at Pete and Helen's house, and I asked a question, and we went round the room, and I asked a question about what bothers you and what upsets you, and what is the thing that you want to see an end to? And we all went around the room and we all said, you know, things that, you know, kind of troubled us and all the rest of it. We had a few laughs over some of them. And I can remember I said, right, okay, the thing that I'm really, you know, that really just kind of winds me up is kind of food poverty, because it is just so debilitating and just has such an impact on families and for us that do have so much, and a lot of our time is spent around food and enjoying food together. To think that others can't do that is a real, just is, it's just really upsetting. So I said, right, yeah, you know, food poverty, yeah, I'm going to do this. And if you remember on that, I said, right, I'm going to keep back some of our food budget, which is probably way too much every month anyway, and I'm going to do stuff for the food bank. So I did some stuff, but was it enough? It was all right. It felt okay at the time. And yeah, you know, it was great. And I'm happy I did it. But it really, I don't think it just, it was just a little taster, I think. So again, my challenge to you today is, you know, from that moment that you may or may not remember, what have you done with it? So have a little think about that. And if there isn't something that really troubles you in the world, so from when I talked about, like, human trafficking at the beginning there, I mean, yeah, I'm not about to go off and, you know, go around the world and solve that as a problem, but it's an area, pretty much like the persecuted church with Rod, where it's an area where I can get aware, I can get more, I can pray, I can give, there's other things I can do. So I'd really encourage you to just be thinking about some of these wider issues, and it might be a big global thing, or it might be a very local thing. So yeah, find the place where you're going to choose to use your voice to proclaim freedom for the captives. What is your something? And what does mission look like for you at this time? Can you identify those missional aspects of your life? And what I'm excited about in terms of us thinking in this way as a church is it will be completely different for each of us because we interact with different people. Some of us have very one-on-one relationships with people. Some of us are involved in bigger group situations, so that might be our mission. But you kind of need to have a think about what that is. And, you know, John 17 and verse 18 says, in the same way that you gave me a mission in the world, that being Jesus has got a mission in the world, I give them a mission in the world. Do you know what that mission is? And as we've just explored some of the issues that impact your city, do you know what they are? Did you know what they were before I listed some of those? Some of them you will because they're obvious, but there are some other ones that perhaps you were not so familiar with. And I think as well, we need to identify the city we serve. For some of you, you might not connect completely with central Bristol as being your city. It might be out, you know, where you do most of your life, and that is fine. But you need to understand, what is it then within the context of that city are the things that I need to be aware of, to notice, to get involved in, because they will be very different. But I think you'd be really, really surprised, because I think some of the things that we see down in the centre of Bristol, you probably see out in other areas as well. They're probably just a bit more, not as visible maybe. And actually that the stuff about, you know, stuff not being visible is an interesting thing. You know, do you make time for the discarded in society? A favourite author of mine, and again, I can highly recommend, he's written one book already and he's got another book that's about to come out anytime soon. I think it's available for pre-order. It's a chap called Bob Goff from America. He wrote a book called Love Does, which some of you may have read, and his new book is called Everybody Always, and he's just big on loving people, whatever, whenever. Yeah, a lot of it's just an amazing book. And I think this is a quote from his new book. It's something I picked up online as I was preparing. It says, most of us spend our entire lives avoiding the people Jesus spent his whole life engaging. And I thought, oh my goodness, that is a real challenge that, yeah, probably a lot of us are not connecting with the kind of people that Jesus connected with. And my favourite example of Jesus making that connection is with the Samaritan woman, where he went out of his way in the middle of the day to take a drink with somebody that he just shouldn't have been anywhere near. You know, when do we do that? It might not be as extreme as the Samaritan woman, but, you know, there are many opportunities to seek out those that are discarded, those that don't have hope, those that need setting free. And then sort of secondly, really, as a point, although my introduction was probably too long, are you using what you've been given? And what I've realised over the course of the last few weeks is that the starting point for this is about having a real open heart and then open hands to say, you know, as Sue, I think it was, that shared, you know, Lord, here I am, send me. That's the starting point. Here I am, Lord, send me. And I think as soon as we open up our hearts and our hands to some of these things, that just gives God the opportunity to move. It gives him the opportunity to demonstrate his kindness and his power in a way that if we didn't do that, I don't think he's going to do. We have to do something to get, I suppose it's like that thing, isn't it? We have to do stuff to see the suddenly. And it's like, what is it? And the starting point is just, you just go, I'm available, Lord, use me. You might not know what it's for, but that availability, vulnerability, laying it down is really, really important. You know, Isaiah 61 is the call for us as a people of God to help fix the brokenness we see around us. So what are we doing with what is in our hands? I've been thinking about, like, what we use or using the excess in our lives for. There's always space in our lives, in a number of things. You know, however small that excess may be, there's always something that you could be doing. And again, this is just a thing from work. We're always trying to identify efficient ways of doing things and not being wasteful. You know, are there areas of waste in your life that you need to kind of work out what they are so that you can make use of your time wisely and intentionally? So what is in your hands? Well, firstly, you've got a voice. You can pray and you can petition and you can do that consistently and passionately until things change. You know, you can raise awareness about these things. You can speak out. But I think it starts with prayer. We can all do that. And, you know, and we have seen amazing, amazing answers to prayer. So why shouldn't we see it happen in these things? You know, there's many opportunities now in small groups, individually, as families, Alison's group. Again, you know, there might be an issue that is really, really important that actually needs to be like properly interceded for in the context of prayer. Time is always a biggie, isn't it? And, you know, that is the I think, where the real cost is on our time. That's where the sacrifice is. But I think what I've realised is it is about not necessarily not doing something, but it's about intentionally setting aside some time that is not about you, but making sure you get the balance right as well. So what I'm saying is, don't get involved in everything at the cost of taking time to rest properly and to Sabbath properly, because that is equally as important. But try to set aside a piece of time that is not about you and your situation. And I just think that unlocks all sorts of things. I mean, I found that for myself with the homeless shelter. That was, you know, I did that after a long day of work, you know, quite a stressful environment. I was able to do it. And at the time, I was thinking, how am I going to do this and fit it in? But actually, I felt so actually refreshed and revived after it. Actually, it kind of helped me some. I think sometimes going back home after work and sitting down and doing nothing actually doesn't do you any good in feeling refreshed and revived and having then something to go again with for the next day. So I'm just, yeah, think about how you use your time. Yeah. As Marvin said on that video, skills and abilities, really, really important. Some of us have got, you know, skills that we can put to really, really good use to solve some of these issues. And resources, and I'm not just talking about money here. You know, he talked about property, equipment. It's just thinking broader than we've perhaps thought before in some of these things. So, some tips for practical application, because it wouldn't be a preach for me without some, right, here's how to perhaps have a think about doing some of this stuff. So it's like there is a mandate now. You've got permission to go and do this stuff. You don't have to kind of ask. Just do something. It's not about us sanctioning what that might be. You know, you go and you do those things. And as I said, the starting point is to be open-handed and open-hearted. Again, just a practical thing is to try and, we've talked about getting a word for the year, try and get an action word for the year. So this year you might choose generosity. That might be an action word that you can then go and do stuff. Although I'd say, you know, generosity and kindness and all of those things you want to be doing all the time. It might be you choose justice as being a thing that you focus on for this year. I think, you know, be aware of the times we're living in. You know, take note of the issues. Get interested in the city and beyond. You know, it talks about in the Bible of the sons of Issachar, who they were a tribe who knew and understood the times in which they were operating in. That's in 1 Chronicles 12, verse 32. It says, from Issachar, there were men who understood both the times and Israel's duties. They understood what was going on in the world. They didn't hide. They didn't not watch telly. They didn't not go on social media. And don't be indifferent about it. I think we've sort of touched on this on Wednesday night, is that, you know, what do you feel when you put on the news? You know, don't be indifferent. This is a journey. And I think it's a journey that's going to take us from being aware to being informed and then enabling us to get involved. It's multi-layered. So there's an individual response for us all, which again Rich touched on Wednesday night. I think for some of us there are family responses, whereas families we choose to act in a certain way. Small group response. In our small groups, you know, we want to make a difference. And then there's our corporate response as a church. So yeah, that's really important there as well. And don't make excuses. And I think that came out in one of Richard's preaches from Ruth. You know, do something and be able to articulate what it is. It doesn't matter how small it is, but do something and be able to, yeah, say what it is. And try and act a bit strategically and don't be too random. The only thing you can be random or scattergun with, and I think as we've learned over the last couple of weeks, is around kindness. And there's a postcard you can get, isn't there, that says scatter kindness like confetti. So you can do that scattergun. But with some of these other things, you know, try and be a bit strategic and kind of try and have a plan, but know that God will order your steps when you're thinking about some of these things. And I just think, you know, it's great. We're all learning together. And together we can make that difference. So it's really important that we can get creative and motivate one another on this journey. You know, there's huge amounts of creativity in this room, and what works for one person won't necessarily work for another. You know, the young people are going to have different ways of doing things to us more mature people. And, you know, let's use our collective creativity to really make a difference. Hebrews 10 and verse 24 talks about, let us think of ways to motivate one another to acts of love and good works. The Message puts it like this. So let's do it, full of belief, confident that we're presentable inside and out. Let's keep a firm grip on the promises that keep us going. He always keeps his word. Let's see how inventive we can be in encouraging love and helping out, not avoiding worshipping together as some do, but spurring each other on, especially as we see the big day approaching. And as I said already, just scatter kindness like confetti. You know, don't get tired of doing good, as I read out on Wednesday night from Galatians 5:9. And at the right time, we will reap the harvest that goes alongside that doing good. The gradual will become a suddenly. So right now, therefore, every time we get a chance, let us work for the benefit of all, starting with the people closest to us in the community of faith. So it starts here, and then it will go out there. So just in conclusion, my thoughts and just my heart at the moment on this, John Wesley said, do all the good you can by all the means you can, in all the ways you can, all the times you can. And one of my favourite scriptures in Micah, which is a small book in the Old Testament, in chapter 6 and verse 8, says, he has told you, O man, what is good, and what does the Lord require of you, but to do justice and to love kindness and to walk humbly with your God. The Message puts it like this, but he's already made it plain how to live, what to do, what God is looking for in men and women. It's quite simple. Do what is fair and just to your neighbour. Be compassionate and loyal in your love, and don't take yourself too seriously, but take God seriously. And I just think in our pursuit to be a church who wants people to belong, to believe and become, to meet the brief that God's called us to do, we do perhaps need to just try things a bit differently, to think a bit differently. Stop evaluating things from a kind of human point of view, but evaluate things how God would see them. And finally, and this is not a quote from the Bible, but it's a quote from A.A. Milne, from his Winnie the Pooh story. So not completely spiritual, but I think it just captures some of what we perhaps need to do as a church and as individuals. It says, you can't stay in your corner of the forest waiting for others to come to you. You have to go to them sometimes. And I just think, you know, that's really important. We need to do something, no matter how small it is. We need to do something. We need to be the voice to the voiceless. We need to proclaim freedom for the captives. And we can all do that in big ways, small ways. Who knows what this is going to lead to? And it's all part of meeting that ultimate bridge to bring the kingdom of God to life, not only for us as individuals, but for the lives of others outside. Amen.
Brilliant, Nikki. Thank you. I mean, if you can't have failed to pick up Nikki's heart of compassion and justice. And again, it's interesting. This morning I was reading in Isaiah 30, God is a God of compassion. He's a God of justice. And that's what Nikki has been preaching and encouraging us this morning. And just to pick up really just something we talked about on Wednesday about unless the Lord builds the house, the builders labour in vain. And as Nikki said, we need to seek God to find our place, what he wants us to do. We can do many good things, but we need to do what God is calling each of us to do, us as a church to do, as groups to do. That's really good. But find your place, seek God and find your place, and then have that heart to say, as Isaiah said, here am I, send me, okay? And be willing, be available, as Nikki said. Thank you, Nikki, for those words to encourage us. Something for us all to take away and really seek God on. I'm just going to end in prayer. Jesus, just thank you for Nikki's word, Lord, for all that you're encouraging us at this time to find you, to seek you, to outwork your purposes, to build your kingdom, Father. Lord, we are partnering with you, Father, as we move ahead, Lord. Help us to always walk in step with you at this time, Father, not to rush ahead or lag behind, but just to find your heart, Lord. Father, I pray that you just bless each one of us and as we go through this day and the rest of this week, Lord, show us your heart, I pray, in Jesus' name. Amen. We'll end there. Have a good afternoon.